Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernanke and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What do you do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. The Hornets crushed the Magic last night, the G League Magic. They're already a pretty bad roster without, putting in all these random players. But last night they were playing without Cole Anthony, Franz Wagner, Terrence Ross, and Gary Harris. So they had some very random players out there. I was at that game, like I said, pretty bad game to go to, I have to say. Not the most enjoyable watch. It was just like, oh, they have no good players in. Okay, I guess the Hornets are definitely going to win this game. And, yeah, it was not that entertaining. It was fun to see our players cook, I guess, but you knew the game was over even in the first quarter when it was kind of close.
Yeah, I mean, the Magic's offense, you know, our defense has been pretty terrible, you know, giving up 144 in back-to-back games. How do you solve that? Play Admiral Schofield. I mean, that team was awful. I made a joke that Mason Plumlee would be the best offensive player on their roster. Well, that's not true. I think if you do go and draft the rosters from last night, we might have like the first six players taken.
Yeah. I mean, RJ Hampton is their best player that was playing last night. Markelle Fultz, like, it's Mo Bamba. I don't know. It's pretty rough. I saw Mo Bamba had 29 in the game before that we played them last night in the game previous. But he barely got any run last night. They're clearly trying to lose. They played Devin Canopy from Princeton, who I had never heard of. And then Ignis Brizdakis, who I also had never heard of. And he looks just like they literally pulled him off the street. He did not look like an NBA basketball player. But never heard of either of those two players. And they lived up to their reputation. They were not very good. And you mentioned Admiral Schofield. You made a joke earlier. You know it's bad when, like, you are recognizing Admiral Schofield. You're like, oh, Admiral's playing. Okay,
they finally got a big name out here. Okay.
Yeah. They had some very random players on their roster. But yeah, big win. What are your thoughts on your boy Markelle Fultz? Tim, for people who don't know, was super high on Markelle Fultz. Like, the highest you've ever been on a player going into the draft. And he was always like, he was coming over to one of our friend's house and just like, look at these Markelle highlights. Like, he was super into Markelle Fultz, and he's had a little bit of a disappointing career due to injury. But what were your thoughts on seeing him last night?
That's very kind of you to say, just a little bit of a disappointing career. Yeah, you catch me on the right Saturday night, and I have the 16-minute Washington Husky highlights ready to go at any moment. I was watching Markelle and I was like, man, he'd be really good next to LaMelo too. I was like, he's got some size, got some defensive chops. But it was good to see him. Melo pickpocketed him one time, kind of humiliating. But overall, yeah, I still think he's a good player. I did at the time, I will say, I was like, he's gonna be like James Harden. That's what I thought. You know, you go back and watch those Washington highlights, I think it still holds up. And I was reading more because, like, I'm fascinated by Markelle Fultz. Like, he's my Bigfoot. Right. And I was reading about his nerve damage because I kind of thought that was just, like, PR. Like, you know, he had the yips. Not really sure what happened. But, you know, if you look at his shot side by side, Washington to, like, you know, his second year in Philly, completely different shot. And so Landry Fields, who played for the Knicks during Linsanity and then got signed by the Toronto Raptors – afterwards, promising rookie season, and then just suddenly fell off the face of the earth. No one knew what happened. He and Markelle Fultz had the same nerve damage as well, where apparently it is once you pull your elbows to about your sternum area, it just feels like you're getting stabbed. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, you notice they don't shoot the ball. Like, Markelle had a nice looping shot well over his head, hard to block. And now he shoots it way out in front of his face. And apparently it's just because, you know, nerve damage, he can't, you know, physically, it just doesn't feel comfortable to shoot like that. And kind of a shame, like, one of the lost, like, you know, obviously Tatum, if we redrafted now, would be number one from that draft. But, like, Markelle Fultz was a legitimate, like, stud.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's had this nerve damage and his career will just never be the same. It's a really, like, sad NBA story, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's important to kind of illuminate what you just said. You told me this before the podcast and I was like, bring this up on the pod, because I think a lot of people do think it's just the yips with him, and it's important to realize that maybe it's not, and that it's just an injury, and like a long-term injury, right? So yeah, feel bad for Markelle. I'll tell you who I do not feel bad for: Kelly Oubre Jr. who had a career high plus 41 last season. I went through, I checked all the box scores from previous games. This is his career high, plus 41. I can't say that he like contributed all that much, but he was a plus 41 last night. And you brought up that he has the 10th most threes in a single season in Hornets history. So 10th most threes in a single season. And that's a little depressing.
That's very depressing. You could tell that that Del Curry was kind of like, damn, man, I wish I just played, like, you know, even 5 years later, like definitely definitely could have been on that list. Yeah, you know, I feel like every time around this part of the season, that list comes up because, you know, inevitably guys shoot and make more threes than ever before. But what always stands out to me is, Mark, do you know who is number two all time in single season threes made for the Hornets?
I'm going to guess Devontae Graham.
It is not our man Tay, plus minus all-star. It is Jason Richardson from the 2006-2007 season, where he was really a prototype, and this season never gets talked about, was averaging 3 threes made per game, good for 243 on the season, 7.3 threes attempted per game in the mid-2000s. That is just absurd.
Yeah, that's actually insane. He's Steph Curry before Steph Curry. I mean, like, people just were not shooting the three that much. It'd be interesting to see, like what were Ray Allen's threes attempted at that, like, in the, around that time, right? Like, who's next? Who's closest to him in threes attempted around that time? There's not many people. And I think you brought up he was shooting 41% that year, too. So wild efficient season from Jason Richardson that year. Yeah.
And especially, like, you know, if you're a little bit older, like, most people think about Jason Richardson as like a dunker. Like, you know, he kind of held on for like 5 years longer than like he was actually good. And so, like, you know, it's easy to remember him fat in Orlando and Philly. But like, dude, he's on Golden State and everything. Like, you know, he had that classic dunk contest, had a lot of good in-game highlights. But yeah, no one ever thinks about him as like this dead eye shooter that was like 10 years ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. You know who's not a good shooter, Tim?
half our roster. What you got?
Russell Westbrook. Not a good three-point shooter. And the Hornets, reported by Mark Stein, are apparently among teams interested in acquiring Russell Westbrook in a trade this offseason. So Westbrook's making $47 million next season. My first reaction to hearing this trade was like, literally, I'm not sure I can do the podcast anymore. Like, that we talked about this. It's funny. We've already had this episode. We talked about this 2 years ago when we were reportedly interested in getting Russell Westbrook in the offseason. And that never transpired. But we talked about it then and we were like, please no, please no, please no. And it's the same thing now. I mean, he's just gotten worse. Everybody knows he's had a terrible year with the Lakers. He's not a player that's game is aging well, particularly. You know, his game is not aging well at all.
It's also kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, his athleticism is decreasing and his jump shot has gotten worse and worse throughout the years. But the upside of this trade, the reason why we would even consider this, so like once you understand this, you can kind of see what the Hornets are doing, is to be able to re-sign and sign players like Miles Bridges, LaMelo Ball, and PJ Washington. That would be the reason we're acquiring Russell Westbrook, because his contract is up next year. And we would be trading the Lakers, the Gordon Hayward contract, which is 2 more years at $30 million. And then presumably somebody like Kelly Oubre as well, getting out of his $12 million next season. We also would probably get some draft picks in that deal.
Yeah, the Lakers have their 2027 and 2029 picks available. But this kind of just reminds me of, like, it would be as though you willingly tied your own hand behind your back. And then we're like, dude, watch me make this omelet. Like, I'm so good at cooking. And it's like, oh, man, that's crazy. But it's like, you signed these deals. Like, you know, we're having now to, like, sweat to get rid of these. It's like, you know, Terry, I love Terry. He's by far the least talked about player on this podcast. Because the story is like, okay, Terry scored 25. Nah, Terry didn't shoot well. That's kind of like all you can say about him. You know, we signed him to this extension that he probably wouldn't get this offseason if he was a free agent. And we signed the Gordon Hayward deal willingly. I would hate to watch Russell Westbrook. Like, that would just be terrible. It would kind of ruin the good vibes of hashtag Hornets culture. But I I do see the idea of taking one step back to take two steps forwards. But then you have to really ask, like, in the summer of 2023, with extensions becoming so prevalent, how many free agents will there be? And when has it ever worked out for the Hornets to sign free agents?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's even the idea that Russell Westbrook could come to us and potentially just not play, potentially just play, do like a John Wall situation. But the team is definitely getting worse in that transaction. I mean, Kelly Oubre Jr. has not been good for us this second half of the season, but Gordon Hayward is still a winning player. He's still a good player on our team when he's healthy. So I would rather, I mean, objectively, you'd rather have Gordon Hayward at this point than Russell Westbrook, because like Russell Westbrook, you might, if you look at his counting stats, yeah, he does more or whatever, but he's just so inefficient and he turns the ball over so much. And you're taking the ball out of LaMelo's hands. So, like, if we do this deal, I would rather him just not play. I'd rather it be a John Wall situation in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, if Melo got mad at Mason Plumlee not passing the ball fast enough, it's like, I'm sure you would just be shocked with Russell Westbrook. One thing that I think it's important to look at, because this does come into play, I think Ethan Strauss has done a great job of kind of pointing out the fact that like general managers aren't necessarily making these trades so much as like agents and, you know, like shoe deals are a big part. And Russell Westbrook is a Jordan guy. Mm-hmm. He is signed to Jordan's company. So I doubt that Jordan would trade for him and then just torpedo the sales. He wants to make sure that his guy's looking good. But I like the concept of like, okay, yeah, free up some cap space. You know, like guys will want to play with Melo. But I feel like there has to be a better option. Like, you know, let's say you view Terry Rozier as a negative asset on the extension.
Which I don't.
I might, like, you know, I think that, I don't know, Terry's just such a hard guy to gauge.
Yeah.
He is extremely skilled when he's hot. You know, he can win you games. Great three-point shooter. But he just doesn't provide that much more. But at the same time, like CJ McCollum is better than Terry Rozier, but is he that much better than Terry Rozier?
No. Yeah, when you compare his contract to other shooting guards in the league, I think it's a pretty fair deal. It's just that it goes on for so long. But like, I kind of want Terry Rozier to be a part of the core. He's not as old as Gordon Hayward. I think that if we're getting off of the Gordon Hayward contract, it's a reasonable proposition. But I mean, I don't want to include Terry in that. I would rather keep him. He fits in nicely with the team. I mean, unless we're trying to develop Book Knight, which we're not. More on that later.
Yeah, it's almost like a little bit like, you know, the famous Family Guy sketch where it's like, oh man, you know, we can get a boat or we do the mystery box. What could it be? It's like, man, if we trade Terry Rozier in free agency, we could get the next Terry Rozier. Like, man, that's crazy. It's like, yeah, realistically, you're not going to do better. And like, Terry isn't some super ball dominant guy that like takes to the rim all the time. Like he's just a great spot up shooter. He's constantly moving off ball. So I think he'll age very well. And I'm sure 2 years from now, you know, when he's halfway through that deal, there will be a team like, you know, even like certain contracts that might surprise you, like Eric Gordon, everyone like killed the Rockets for signing that Eric Gordon contract a couple years ago. And now like, man, I'm sure they could get a late first round pick for him. Like Terry Rozier, I think will be fine. I trust Mark Stein. I think, you know, he's obviously a pro, but I can't see this deal actually happening.
Yeah.
But maybe something, you know, a couple months from now, not as crazy as Russell Westbrook, but like this probably is a sign that we are looking to move some money and looking for that big 2023 free agency class.
Yeah. And just looking again to be able to sign LaMelo and Miles and PJ, which I'm all in for. If we can keep those three together, we're doing something right. So that's got to be priority number one. I wouldn't have said that about PJ a couple months ago, but I'm on that train now. I hope we keep him.
Yeah, another great game. Also nice when they were talking, Ashley was asking them after the game, like, man, what are your thoughts on the game? And the first thing that people said were like, you know, that first quarter just wasn't good enough. Mm. And, you know, PJ was like, yeah, we weren't there defensively. But I just, you know, like it's cheesy, but like I think that's kind of cool. It's like you win a game by 30 points, and you're just like, we should have been better. It's like, I'm just a sucker for that.
I want to reiterate one more time here that Russell Westbrook playing on our team would be depressing, and I don't want it to happen. Yeah, $47 million next year. I hope some other team is willing to take that on.
Yeah, good luck with that. And we were actually just joking, like, the day before the report came out, you know, we were just talking on the phone, and it was like, man, you know, could you imagine having to do, like, you know, Hornets and Heartbreak, but, like, this Lakers season? God, that would just be the worst thing in the world. Like, man, you know, it wouldn't be fun. It would just feel like a job. And then it's like 16 hours later, well, Russell Westbrook book out. And I think it's a pretty clear, you know, line of demarcation as to what's causing this misery.
Yeah. 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 Lakers podcast this year. I mean, I almost want to listen to one to just see their tone, the tone in their voices throughout the episode. It's nice to have a bright future. We started this podcast not having super high expectations for the team, but I'm not sure we would have kept going if LaMelo Ball wasn't on our team. I'm not sure we would have been like had the momentum and had the willpower to brave through a bad rent season.
In respect, a terrible idea to start the podcast with.
Yeah, like
we still had Nicholas Batum. Like, yeah. Yeah, we probably were going to get like the 8th pick in the draft.
Yeah, in hindsight, I don't really know why we started this podcast, but I'm happy we did, Tim. I'm happy we did. All right, let's talk about our rookies who've been talking out against the Hornets and talking bad about the coach. So Kai Jones on Instagram liked to comment on the Hornets Instagram. So it's like, did you not think people were going to see this Kai Jones? He liked a comment that said, WTF do Hornets fans got to do to get Borrego out of here? Do we have to protest? LMAO. LMAO, Tim. Kai getting caught liking comments on Instagram that he should not be liking. He's not a fan of Borrego, apparently. And then Book Knight retweeted a tweet from December saying he dropped a career high in points. And then his tweet was just the emoji of the zipper going zip shut on your mouth. So he's saying, like, I'm not going to say anything, but this is what happens when you play me. That's what that tweet says. So he's not saying anything, but he really is. So both of our rookies are not happy with James Borrego, a sign of trouble in Charlotte, Tim.
Yeah, I like it. It kind of reminded me of, like, I was like a little troublesome in school, you know, just like literally every other kid in America. I was smart though. And so, like, you know, I would get, you know, like the progress reports would come out and you'd have like a D, or like, man, missing 7 assignments, you'd have an F, and your parents are like, dude, what the fuck? Like, you know, what is going on here? And you're just like, it's my teacher. Man, my teacher just doesn't like me. Like, oh man, I'm doing this stuff. Like, she's just got a vendetta. And it's like, you got these two dudes that have done nothing. And like, I actually like both of them. So like, I don't want to take Borrego's side, but like, I'm just like, maybe not the best way to like air your grievances, especially when it's come out that like Miles, Melo, PJ, Terry have all said like they have to grow up a little bit. Not really the best way to go about it. It's like trying to start a restaurant strike, but you're like, you're two bus boys. It's like, yeah, you might want the cooking staff on hand here. Yeah. Don't have a lot of leeway.
Yeah. If they don't have support from other players, who knows how it's going to go. I do think that this season for both of them, it's just a travesty that they're not playing more this season. We should have gone into the year. Book Knight should have gotten minutes in game one of the season. Like, when you draft a player at 11th, you need to insert them in the lineup immediately. Just 10 minutes, game one. He didn't play. And then, you know, we start sprinkling him in the middle of the season when players get hurt. There was plenty of opportunity for Book Knight in the middle of the season. I agree that now he shouldn't play. You know, we're making a play-in tournament run, and it would just be weird to throw him in the mix now. But midway through the season, man, there's 82 games in an NBA season. You're saying that we don't have more than 300 minutes to give to our 11th pick in the draft? That's crazy. He ranks 54th among rookies in minutes played. 54th. That's, you know, a late second round pick. And Kai Jones has played, guess how many minutes?
I would say like 150.
60. Ranks 80th among rookies. You got 20 undrafted players playing more than Kai Jones. And, you know, I've like said this on the podcast before, but I've had like middling opinions about it. I just want to be clear that like, I do think that the way the Hornets have handled the rookies this season is not good. We're not making the finals this year. We're not a team like the Heat or the Suns, where it would be reasonable for Book Knight and Kai Jones to be playing that little. And also, I want to say that Book Knight, I think, should be playing more than Kai Jones. Kai Jones is more of a project. It makes more sense for Kai Jones to not be playing as much. But Book Knight could be playing right now if we had handled things correctly. And it comes from Borrego. It comes from Kupchak. It comes from Jordan. This is kind of a history of how the Hornets handle these things, going back to Malik Monk and Steve Clifford. And yeah, just I think the way we handle rookies is often pretty poor.
Yeah, so I agree with you on the Kai Jones Book Knight point as far as, you know, like minutes. Where like Kai Jones was kind of known, you know, even like pre-draft, this guy's a project, gonna take some time. So like was expecting that. Yeah, the Book Knight thing, especially when you consider, like, you know, we talked about it all season. Melo's not like a 38 minute a night guy. Mm-hmm. You know, Terry does. He's pretty durable because he doesn't play defense, so he's not too tired. You know, so he's around 34 minutes a game. Is a bad look for Book Knight to not be getting any minutes. But I do disagree with, like, now it's turned to, like, you know, on Instagram and Twitter, like, as though James Borrego is like Steve Clifford or something. Like, he's never playing rookies. Borrego does have a history between, you know, LaMelo, Miles, PJ, even like Devontae, his second year as a second round pick, you know, both the Martin twins. Like, I think he does play young guys. I think his biggest problem, if anything, is like he relies too much on older bigs, such as, you know, Bismack, Cody, Mason. Like, that's one thing I think you can definitely take him to the woodshed for. But you're right. An abject failure for, you know, Book Knight to not, you know, like, we're not asking for 2,000 minutes. Yeah. Like, can't get 800 minutes. Yeah. Here somewhere, like, that's not crazy. Yeah, Shona, like, I understand why these guys are mad as well. Like, it's almost like a, like, Miles Bridges is coming down. He's almost like the baby boomer generation, where he's like, well, man, like, you know, everything was cool for me. Like, you know, I got, you know, like, my house was cheap. I was essentially making like $120,000 out, like, out of the gate. It's like, ah, sucks you're part of a younger generation. Yeah, you'll probably never be able to afford a house like we were.
Yeah.
Like, two different times.
That's a great analogy. And I mean, like, the idea that we are going to develop first round picks in the G League, us and the Spurs, I mean, we're the only teams that do that. If they were drafted by any other team this year, they would be playing more. And I mean, it makes sense when you have second round picks, send them to the G League, let them develop for a couple of years. Made sense with Devontae Graham. It made sense with Cody Martin. But it does not make sense when you use the 11th pick on a player and he's this, you know, this unhappy, and he's just not gotten any playing time. He's not gotten a chance to show what he's worth. We drafted him at 11th, and we just don't know how good he is. And that's a failure on the organization, in my opinion.
Yeah, and so then, you know, it comes down to, like, you know, because Steve Clifford, his whole thing with Monk was he came out right away and was like, I wanted Donovan Mitchell. I wanted this guy. Like, you know, and I actually just watched Moneyball again the other day, and there's the great scene where, you know, Brad Pitt trades away all the players that, you know, are getting out. And that's what we kind of thought was happening with Ish Smith. But it turns out to be the case. It seems like, you know, Borrego, if you look at it, clearly didn't like either of the second round picks last year. Yeah. And I think with reason. I mean, I don't think Vernon Carey was good. I don't think that was a mistake. But yeah, it is pretty weird to have two top 20 picks who are essentially just non-existent on like this promising up and coming team. And it was also, I think it should have been pretty clear, as soon as the Bulls rocketed up to like the first seed, you know, with like 30 games in the season, there were just like, you know, it's just a numbers game and it's not calculus. It's very simple. Just, okay, there are only 10 teams that have a chance to even make the playoffs. Like, we're going to be like the bottom three. Like, we're not going to go below. We're not going to go above. Like, it was pretty set in stone, even though obviously now it's so wonky, but like, you know, we were going to be in the bottom seven teams regardless.
Right.
So yeah, would have liked to see them get a little more playing time. It's clear that Borrego did not want Book Knight, and he didn't really seem to like Monk. So it is kind of weird to, like, you hire this coach, you gave him an extension, you know his beliefs. You're just like, oh, maybe he'll change.
No. Yeah. No, he tends to favor defensive players at the small forward and shooting guard position. And one more thing on it, like, Book Knight, he was drafted 11th. But people had him higher in rankings. Like, and he was supposed to be a player who's ready to go when he comes into the league. So it's just crazy. I mean, we've talked about it throughout the season. And yeah, I just wanted to talk about that because last night they check in at the end of the game and, you know, Book Knight throws the lob to Kai Jones and it was electric. it was sick. It's like, this is what we're missing. Like,
it's why fueled by hatred. I love it.
Yeah. Like, I actually was surprised that they got to play, because obviously Borrego knows about that stuff. Unless nobody told him. But I mean, I just am a little bit upset about that. And I wanted to air out my grievances with this recent news. Now they're being immature as hell on social media. They need to stop doing that. But
yeah. Cause like, you know, it's sometimes like I talk about my boss on the podcast, but it's like, yeah, I'm not going to get, you know, 1,000 retweets. Like, that's not right. going to get brought up in, you know, the pre-shift meeting or anything.
I mean, we posted both of the things on our social media because it's just good to share that with Hornets fans. And I mean, both of those things have been seen by, like you said, thousands of people. So yeah, not a good look. My mom was like, ooh, they're going to get fired. I'm like, ah, that's not really how it works. But in a real job, that would be how it works. You just get fired.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it would be one thing if LaMelo and Miles were coming out like this, then, yeah, Borrego would be gone.
Right.
But it's like, you kind of look at Book Knight, and you're like, yeah, you're like a minimum wage employee. Like, you know, you're a little more disposable. It is sad, but, you know, if anything, I'll try to be positive. I'll look at Jordan Poole this season.
Hmm.
You know, the Warriors pick, who has a similar profile. I think he's a little bigger than Book Knight. But even that, it's just like, I guess just there was kind of a flawed theory in between the drafting of Book Knight where, like, I imagine if we did take Moses Moody, I think Moses Moody would be getting 15 minutes a game with this team. Mm-hmm. He's defensive, like, you know, Borrego would play him. And not that that's right. You know, you shouldn't just have to cater to your coach. That's not how things work in the NBA. But you do kind of wonder what the ultimate upside is with Booker. Like, in your head, you're like, or Booker, Book Knight, like in your head, you're like, oh man, he can be 25 points, man. He's so electric. But in reality, there's just kind of a limit. Like we're talking about with Terry. Mm-hmm. Like if Book Knight turns out to be Terry, that's awesome. But we're also trying to trade Terry right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, potentially. That
allegedly.
Allegedly. I think what's probably the Hayward contract. I don't think we would move Terry. Now, if that happened, then we would delete the podcast. Terry Rozier for Russell Westbrook, straight up.
Ooh, man, you know, but I'd have to say, if that trade, like if I was the Lakers, that's an awesome trade.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why we should not do it. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
But anyways, anything else on that?
No, I hope that next season, you know, baby Giannis is ready to go. I think that Kai Jones has a clearer shot at the rotation next year than Book Knight still.
Yeah.
If Borrego's there, and I assume Borrego, I kind of see it as like, I don't think he'll get fired this season, but I think 25 games into next season, that'll like, it'll start to like, eyes will be on Borrego, hot seat.
Yeah, a little bit of a hot seat watch for next season. I do not think he'll be fired this offseason. I don't think it's warranted to fire him this offseason. Yeah. We're performing above expectations for this season. Like he has to get some of the credit for the LaMelo and Miles leaps this year.
He does. And I think the if anything, if you want to point to Borrego, I mean, our defense has just been terrible his entire tenure. Granted, we've had really bad defenders. So, like, I don't know. I never really have understood the whole, like, fire Borrego campaign. I think he's fine. One thing you could look at is the new influx of coaches that got their first chance last season, and they've all been really good between, you know, Willie Green, Udoka, everyone except for Chauncey Billups,
yeah.
Essentially. He's been even, like, Dagnoff 2 years ago. Yeah, it's like there are a lot of like young promising coaches, but like, you know, Borrego is like the 22nd best coach. Like he's fine. And I think it makes more sense to make that leap after a season. Like if next year just doesn't work out, then you also get the added belt, like benefit of, you know, the start of 2 seasons from now. Oh, new coach, new system, everything's different. Oh, look at this young team on the rise. Where like, if you fire him now, you just, you know, like there's like a PR, like it doesn't look as good.
Yeah. I mean, our wins have gone up by like 10 each year for the past 3 years. So
yeah,
I think he's doing a good job. If he were to be fired, he would be picked up by another team. Also, I want to throw that out there. It's not like he would be jobless.
I think so. Also, did you see who is top 5 in odds to get the Lakers job?
No. Oh, wait. Doc Rivers?
Well, Doc Rivers is in the top 5. Quinn Snyder as well. Steve Clifford rounds out the top 5.
Really?
Yeah, he's plus 400.
That would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah. I think he'd be good on the Lakers as well.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about, like, you know, playing the young guys because they have zero young guys on that team. Yeah.
Luckily, Malik Monk did not sign a multi-year deal, if that's the case.
Yeah. Yep. All right, man. Shout out to all of our podcast supporters, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Brandon Garcia, Austin Johnson, Isaac Black, Dan Joseph, Aaron Barton, and Caitlin Froland. Y'all can subscribe to our Winnow. We send out texts to the people, you know, after every game, in the middle of every game, with updates. And it's just a cool service. Come be a part of the Hornets and Heartbreak community.
Yeah, and thank you so much to everyone that's taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you could be so kind as to rate, review, and subscribe, we would really appreciate that. But regardless, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.
We might even be back Sunday night with a little play-in preview. We'll teaser for you there. All right,
Tim. A lot to look forward to.
It's been real, bro.
All right, it's been real. Be safe out there, Liquor Mart.
Peace. Bye.